Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium with your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. So this show and my family leadership book came out of my passion for creating our harmonious family, dynamic parenting, and parent leaders. Through my Integrative Minds Leadership Company, I work with clients to transform them into really high-performing parent leaders, leaders that we want to follow. So I'm excited to announce that I'm going to be launching my online Harmonious Family Blueprint. It's a three-month program that's going to forever change your family. You're going to learn how to create a system, a foundation that's going to bring more harmony, happiness, and excitement, as well as instilling boundaries, balance, and values to your family unit. So if you don't currently have a plan or a blueprint, then you don't know where you're going. And it's very difficult when those hard times come along, and they will. So this is going to be a three-month commitment. And we only take application because we want to make sure that the people in the program are committed and serious. So it's only 20 people per program. If you're interested, email us at info@integrativeminds.com with your contact information so we can schedule an interview time. The link is in the show notes. The program is normally priced at $19.97 for the three-month package. Right now, we're offering it for $9.97. You're going to get live weekly calls, workbooks. And the last day, we are also going to have a spa retreat getaway day. So email us, info@integrativeminds.com, and we can see if you're ready for the program. So our show today, this is our Teen to Parent Talk. And so thank you so much for joining us on this segment. So on our Teen to Parent Talk, we have amazing guests who are 18 to 23-year-olds. They are going to share with us their insights, their advice, tribulations, hopes, and dreams. And they're also going to give us that same insight to our teens. No stone's going to be unturned. No subject is too much or too little. I want to talk about our guest today. She has conquered high school like an amazing gold medal Olympic athlete. She ran track. She represented her school at statewide girls leadership program. She took 8 advanced placements tests while she was in high school. She is now a rising senior at the University of Pennsylvania studying psychology. And during a year-long leave of absence, she interned with Active Minds National in Washington, D.C., volunteered at the Informational Helpline at the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and worked as a Segway tour guide on the National Mall. Through her personal experiences, she's become committed to changing the way that the world discusses mental health. You are going to be so excited to hear her story, her journey. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Catherine DeWitt. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, everyone.
So now, I know you. Some people call you Kat. How would you like us to call you, Catherine or Kat?
Either way is fine. Whatever's easiest for you.
Okay, perfect. And today, we also joining us is my special guest co-host, Brian Chow.
Thanks for having me again, Jackie.
So Brian, oh, so glad to have you here, Brian. Brian introduced me to Kat because they both go to University of Pennsylvania together. So that's why they're both here today. Kat, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am, as you said, a senior at the University of Pennsylvania. I'm studying psychology. I'm particularly interested in mental health and suicide prevention. I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area and still getting used to this wacky, like, winter climate that they have out here on the East Coast.
Well, this is your last year, so are you planning to leave the wacky winter climate for California?
I am. If there's jobs there, it's all about the job market and finding hopefully a research position, which will help my long-term career goals.
There was a really great LA Times article that came out that you were featured in. And we're going to put
New York Times.
I'm sorry, New York
Times. New York Times.
New York Times. And we're going to have that article as a show link in the link so that listeners, you can take a look at it. But tell us, what are some of the expectation you had for yourself going into college? Because I know from my intro that you really were a go-getter. You pushed yourself in high school. How was that like in college? Because now you've got people that were at your same caliber in college.
So I think there are definitely academic pressures. As you mentioned, I really liked to be smart. I like to work hard and I like to succeed academically. So I wanted to continue to achieve. And to me, as someone who like had never gotten a B before, I didn't know whether or not a B was okay. It sounds silly now, but it's something that high schoolers, especially top achieving high schoolers, don't realize that pressure exists in their mind. There's also the social pressure. A lot of people say college is when you meet those lifelong friends, those people that you can talk to about anything and everything. So I was excited and really looking forward to meeting these people, but I also wanted to make sure I got them early on. Finally, there was the emotional pressures, because when you hear advertising about colleges, you hear, get ready for the next 4 years of your life, the best 4 years of your life. Are you excited to see basically all your dreams come true? It's the time when the nerds become the socialites, when people who are awkward in high school can grow up and find their place. So all these academic, social, and emotional pressures compounded into what were my expectations for what college should be like.
Was that the same kind of for you, Brian?
In a way, yeah. I feel like Kat explained that so well. Like, that's, it definitely rings true for a lot of people who are in that period of transition.
Yeah. What were the expectations that your parents had for you, and how did that differ?
For me, my parents' expectations were very much internalized as my own. We didn't explicitly ever say, oh, you have to get X GPA. But my parents are high achievers, and both me and my brother wanted to achieve to the same standard. One thing in particular did stand out. It was that they wanted me to join a Christian fellowship. And that's where they had made most of their friends and found their community on campus. So I likewise wanted to find a community, and I hoped that that Christian fellowship was going to be the place that I found it.
Did your reality of college differ from these experiences or expectation?
Oh, so much. Right off the bat, we have a program called New Student Orientation, which Penn abbreviates as NSO. And I didn't expect so many parties. I had never gone to a party in high school. I didn't go to any parties. I also didn't go to many of the late night social events. And I felt already a little out of place as I was struggling to find anybody who also didn't want to go to these events or wanted to do something different, like read a book or even just talk and walk around and explore campus. Additionally, I started questioning my sexuality really early on in the semester. And that was incredibly difficult because the Christian fellowship I joined is one of the more conservative ones on campus. As I was trying to struggle with both my faith and my sexuality, I also really didn't do as well as I wanted to do in my favorite subject, math. I had loved math. Math was the easy one. I was planning to be a math major, and suddenly the thing that I was good at, I wasn't good at anymore. Additionally, I was taking a Spanish class. That was the other subject I was really good at. And I thought, okay, I have math and Spanish. Those two are in the bag. But they were the classes that were the hardest, and I had to put the most work in.
Wow. It really must have been a very difficult time.
It really was. And it was hard to talk about it, too. I'm sure Brian can talk about this, too. But when you're first year, there's a lot about playing cool and trying to figure out what the social norms are at a school. And for us, there's this weird competition, or there used to be this weird competition about how many midterms you had this week or how many essays you had. So you'd go to a dining hall for lunch and you'd sit down with your friend and say, yeah, I've got a midterm and a paper and my club is doing this week. And then the other person would reply, oh,
who can up
I
that?
Got two midterms and three papers and two events this week.
It's like, who can get stressed out more, you know, and still get through it?
Exactly. And that mentality promotes the elevation of being busy, of being stressed out all the time. But it wasn't good for me, and it wasn't the way that I relate to people. So it was hard for me to find friends early on.
Yeah, Brian, you talked about that too.
A little bit.
Yeah. How did you feel, Kat?
I felt like I had to have it all together and be like everything was fine, but I wasn't really fine.
Yeah, I can see how that is, because when you're talking about college, you've got people who are at the top of their high school going in. So now you're not the best of the best in school anymore. You're average. And I can see how that could be very confusing and hard and questioning yourself. So when did you start questioning your sexuality, and just when did you find that you realize, okay, it's time for me to go ask for help? Because like you said, everybody's going through the same thing and they're playing a game where I'm worse than you. Like, I'm in a worse place than right. you. At what point do you say, okay, this enough is enough, and what do I do and where do I turn? And now I'm also not just questioning about school, I'm questioning about who I am.
So that's the thing. For me, I didn't turn to people for support. I saw opportunities too. There was time to talk to one of the people I knew on campus. There was an LGBT mentorship program, but I didn't want to admit something was wrong. And when I didn't seek that help, given my predisposition to depression, I became incredibly depressed.
No, that just really makes sense that you'd be going through that.
And I'm not alone. There's actually statistics, according to a survey of college students, about 23.2% of those surveyed who are sexual minorities or questioning their sexuality experienced suicidal ideation in the past 12 months. And for me, my depression led to suicidal ideation. And I'm not alone. According to a survey of college students, 23.2% of people who are sexual minorities experienced suicidal ideation in the past 12 months, as opposed to 8.1% of their heterosexual peers. And for students who are trans or gender diverse, that number is 40.6%.
Well, that's really sad. You know, I mean, already we know that statistics for college students of suicide is high, but to have to go through an identity where you don't know who you are and knowing that that statistic makes me really, really sad. I hope that there are resources for you guys, and I'm so glad that you're a big advocate of this. I know something happened to you in January that changed things, and I would really want you to share that.
So in January, I had an intervention. I ended up taking a leave of absence to get the help that I needed and seek the treatment that was so necessary. During my year-long leave, I interned at Active Minds, a national nonprofit focused on changing the conversation about mental health. For me, time away from school equipped me with skills to bend or handle life's ups and downs and transform my perspective on perfection versus living life.
That's great. Now, I want to go back, because you mentioned earlier that your parents wanted for you to join a Christian fellowship, which you did, and you joined one that was actually not as progressive. How did you struggle with that now? Because you're in this Christian fellowship, you're questioning your sexuality. What did you do back then, and where are you in that place now, regards to the Christianity?
So I'm still Christian, and I found a place for me that is more progressive, that is a Christian community that welcomes and embraces queer folk. But at the time, I was involved with a group that actually made their student leaders sign a paper to promise that they wouldn't be engaged in relationships with someone of the same sex. And the main party line was that homosexuality was a choice. It was really hard, because this is a group that I'd heard my parents talk about as life-changing, as when they got to college, this was their friends. I wanted that experience too, but I knew for myself, as I struggled internally, this group couldn't be everything that I wanted it to be for me.
And so you joined another one, and it sounds like you're much happier.
Yes.
How did your parents take all of this?
So my parents are wonderful, and they've grown so much over the years. I actually came out when I was in treatment, and their main focus was loving me, learning as much as they could. And we've read a lot of books from Christian authors, from pastors who have queer kids, from pastors who changed their mind on the quote issue. I'm amazed and astounded by how much their love and their willingness to learn and see new ideas is.
So there are some wonderful people, even if you're in the Christian community, that people can reach out to. You don't have to be ostracized.
I think it's also important to recognize, though, that there are safety issues, especially depending on where someone's coming from. For people who do come out, there can be risks of being disowned by their family. And if you're in college, you become financially responsible for yourself and your education, which all isn't always feasible for a 17 to 22-year-old to pay for very expensive education. It's also important to recognize that emotional safety is really important as well. For me, my church has been great and is continuing to get better, but there are some parts of it that are hard too. We're not completely all the way there with accepting queer people.
I see. But, you know, we're getting there. People are talking about it, and I think there's a lot more acceptance. Like you said, there are pastors now that are writing articles and things about that, you know, it's okay to be accepting. So I'm really happy to be living in that kind of times. Are you back at school now?
I'm here over summer. I'm in the Bay Area doing an independent research project.
So what have you been up to since returning to school?
Oh, since returning to school. Yes. So since returning to school, I've joined Active Minds, the chapter that we have here, and worked on promoting awareness of mental health issues, connecting students to the proper resources, and advocating for help-seeking behaviors. I also joined some queer student groups, specifically the Queer Christian Fellowship, which, as we were talking about, there is this really interesting spot where more and more people can be both queer and Christian. I also have done some mentoring with other students, leadership stuff, as well as LGBT student stuff.
We talked about earlier, you were saying that during school, you had all these tests and finals and exams, and you're struggling with all of your favorite subject, and you also question your sexuality. Now that you are in that place where, hey, this is who I am sexually, how has that affected your study with your favorite subject, with math and Spanish and just other health issues?
So I think the main thing was I actually did okay in college standards. What I thought was shaky is more than fine. I ended up picking a stats minor up because I love math so much. And the statistics had given me that problem set feel. I've missed problem sets when I don't have them. I also am able to take more classes related to both religion and to sexuality. I took one specifically on evangelical Christians and the LGBT experience, which was incredible. And for me, the freedom is to study what I want to study and be okay knowing who I am and studying part of who I am and the history of the LGBTQ movement, as well as getting math that's not so theoretical or not completely based on a curve. For Spanish, I minored in Spanish and I've loved my classes ever since.
I always love just hearing your journey, Kat, just going through your experience as a first year. And I personally have been able to derive like a lot of inspiration from it. And I just want to let you know that I'm so amazed at all the stuff you've been able to accomplish since then. And I really see your story as a model that I'd like to take on for myself.
There you go. You changed one person's life, Kat. So I know you sent me some resource links. What's the Trevor Project? What do they do?
So the Trevor Project is a 24/7 hotline for LGBTQ youth, and they do crisis intervention, suicide prevention. They also have an online chat as well as a texting service. And it's helping people who are either queer or questioning when you're at that moment of weakness and you want to talk to somebody. It can also be good for people who are having trouble coming out to friends or family or to religious communities as well. Trevor does a lot of great things to support people, students, anyone, even parents who are trying to understand what their youth is going through.
Wow. And then what's the Trans Lifeline?
So the Trans Lifeline is something that I love to promote. I myself am not trans, but we need more people to know about this because there are more trans people than we know. The Trans Lifeline is a nonprofit dedicated to the well-being of transgender people. It's run by trans people for trans people, which is incredible. So you can talk to somebody who's going through and has gone through similar things that you have and support you in emotional crisis, your gender dysphoria, or just having somebody who actually gets it and validate your gender identity.
And we have both of the phone numbers for those two resources in our show notes. What do you think your greatest success that you've experienced up to this point, Kat?
That's a good question. I think for me, the greatest success that I've had would be actually getting to know other students like Brian who have been impacted by my story. As somebody who decided to go public with my story, there was a lot of pushback, criticism about certain elements, about the representation of the story and the way the story was portrayed. But what I hope is that through continuing to speak and advocate and share what I've gone through, other people and other spaces can continue to talk about mental health, continue to talk about queer identity and religion and mental health all in one sentence, and advocate for more people to normalize queer experience, normalize having mental health issues, normalize being a survivor of a suicide attempt.
I hear that you are an inspiration in yourself. So then it makes me question, who inspires you to do what you do and be who you are?
Cheesy, but my parents are a huge inspiration to me. When I was young, instilled a value of servant leadership. And this is very biblical, but my goal as a leader, as a person, is to serve other people and to continue to promote equity in the world. I want to be like them and go to an event and be the first person who's there setting up, but also the last person there cleaning up.
Oh.
And that kind of dedication to a cause, to an idea, or to an organization is what I strive to achieve.
And so let's give a shout out to your parents. What are their names?
Don and Kim DeWitt.
Well, parents, I want to say that you have done a great job at parenting. Catherine is going to be an amazing part of this world. So what advice or words of wisdom would you give parents of today? Because I think a lot of parents don't even realize their children are struggling with their sexuality and mental illness and even thoughts of suicide. And if you don't know, what should you do? So what advice would you give?
So I think the biggest thing is to keep the line of conversation open. Ask questions about what's going on, what someone's thinking about, and especially be okay asking, are you thinking about suicide? Because there's a myth out there that says asking that question plants the idea of suicide in someone's mind. If that idea is there, it's already there. Asking may seem scary, but is so important to better reduce the rate of suicide and to get people the help that they need. Another thing I'd tell parents is just to know that your kids are going to be who they are. And it's hard to predict when they're 5, when they're 10, when they're 13, how they'll end up. It's okay for however your children become. They're still the little babies that you loved.
Yeah, that's really powerful what you said, because I was telling Brian earlier that my sister had committed suicide when she was almost 30, a week after her boyfriend had committed suicide. So our family went through a double suicide. And that word, suicide, is very scary for most people. They don't want to say it. It's a whisper. And for a long time, I never spoke about it because I thought that it was kind of like a taboo. You don't talk about it. But once I started saying it, people really opened up. And that's so great that you said, ask your children, have you ever thought about suicide? Because if they've never thought about it, it's not planting that seed in themselves.
Right. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. Thank you. We have teens listening to our show too. So what advice or word of wisdom would you give the kids in high school and maybe even young adults like you?
The biggest thing I'd say is reach out. No matter what you're going through, if you're questioning your sexuality, your gender identity, or just struggling with school, life is hard, especially when hormones are raging, when there's so many expectations from within and from your parents. It's okay to seek help. There are resources out there that want you to succeed, that want you to be the best that you can be. But you can only be that person when you've got the help that you've needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Brian, you can speak for this. Isolation, not asking for that help. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, no, I feel like Kat described it very well. But I mean, same thing goes for isolation. If you ever find yourself in a place where you feel alone, Like, it's okay to reach out for help. I mean, there's people who are willing to listen. It's just a matter of being able to get out there and really just find the opportunities to really make yourself be heard.
And especially if you're in school and college, there's so many resources for both of you guys. It might be harder as an adult and you're just sitting on your couch, but even then there's so many things on the internet, and we're going to put those two numbers there. Thank you so much, Kat. We're out of time. I really appreciate your time. And like I said, my offer goes out to you. If there's anything else that you want to come in and talk more about, please let us know and we'll put you on the show.
All right. Thanks for coming, Kat.
Thanks so much, Jackie. This has been incredible, Jackie.
You're welcome. Thank you. And listener, until next time, always be learning and always be growing.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.